There came a time, though, when if I was going to fly fish, I was going to have to go to the water because that's where the fish are. And as beautiful and necessary as the things that we do on Sunday morning and Wednesday evening are to growing in the Spirit, the work that's set before us isn't in this building. It's out there. And if we are to be faithful followers of God, we'll be travelers. That's what we'll do. We'll go. Just like Jesus told us, go and make disciples. Another reason why we travel is because we're not there yet. Any of you travel with kids on your trips? Did they ask you from the back seat, are we there yet? Are we there yet? I just learned to lie to them. Five more minutes. Be five more minutes. They figured out pretty quick I was lying to them. It's just so then they start asking just to make me say it. Five more minutes. Are we there yet? I hope, I believe this about the people gathered in this room today. I hope you know you're not there yet. I know I'm not. Whatever it means to be Christian, whatever it means to be holy, whatever it means to be faithful, I know I haven't achieved that yet. I mean, if the Apostle Paul could say in Philippians that he hasn't achieved it yet, he says, I do not claim to have achieved this, but this, for this I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And I wonder sometimes if part of the problem we have in addressing the world and making them excited about the possibility of being part of a church is that we don't confess to them that we're still trying to figure it out ourselves. We're still on the way. We know we've not arrived yet. Did I lose Brian? He sat through one service, but I love what Brian had to say about teaching this financial peace class. He didn't say to you, I've got it all figured out. He said, no, I'm kind of a mess myself too. Come, let's do it together. I think if the world heard that more from the church, they'd be a little bit more willing to come see what it is we have to say and what we have to offer. But instead, we kind of project this notion that, you know, we've got it all figured out and we're living it and we're doing just fine. Thank you. And then as Christians, we go, we travel, we journey. Because it's where Jesus is. Oh, I know, I felt it too when we were singing earlier or during the prayer. The Spirit moves in this space and something special happens to us in this place, but I felt it out there so many times too. And when you arrive at a place outside these walls where you know God has been laying in wait for you, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like arriving at a place and knowing that you are where God wants you to be, doing the work that He wants you to be doing. So we learn as Christians. It's attitude. It's not always about physically getting up and going, but we need to know we haven't arrived yet and we've got some ways to go. We need to know that the world out there is why we exist and we need to go. We need to know that living and learning and growing are all part of it. And we need to know God will meet us out there. Cheryl said she took two of my sons with her and Roger to Haiti. And when she said that first service, I almost spoke aloud and corrected her and said three. Because we had another boy that lived at our house when Danny and Scott were teenagers. His name was Walter. He was about Danny's age. But bless his heart. That's what we say in the South. Bless his heart. Walter spoke with a speech impediment. Couldn't form his words quite right. A little bit short and a little bit wide. I don't mean to imply he was fat. He was just built like a stack of bricks is all. And he couldn't read. He was dyslexic. His parents had put him in all the programs, drove him two counties away to a private school to try and get everything straightened around. He never did learn to read. Walter wants to go on a mission trip with us to Peru. And on the outside, I'm saying, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And on the inside, I'm going, oh, no, how are we going to do this? I mean, Walter, it's going to take two of us to take care of Walter for the whole trip. And to some extent, it did. I mean, every time we come to a customs checkpoint, somebody had to be standing next to Walter to help him fill out the papers and answer the questions and write down everything that needed to be written down. And so we're traveling cross country in Peru in the backs of these pickup trucks, and I'm praying, Lord, just give me patience with Walter. Just make sure that this team surrounds Walter with love, because Walter's going to need a lot of help down here in Peru. Here's something I learned. The people in Peru had no idea that Walter talked funny. They thought we all talked funny. And didn't any of us know how to read or write as far as they were concerned. And day two or so, somebody comes and says, such and such has broke down. I don't remember what it was, if it was a toilet or a light fixture in one of the rooms or something. We've got doctors, we've got preachers, we don't have any. Oh, wait a minute. Walter, doesn't your dad work on heaters and stuff? He says, yeah, I'll go look at it. He was back in 5 minutes and said you couldn't fix it. Huh? He says, no, it's running now. And two or three times that week, Walter was the one that went and fixed the thing that broke down and kept the team up and going. And here's the thing that happened. Walter got a name. They called him El Oso, which is Spanish for the bear. Because in Peru, Walter was a giant. He was a mountain is what he was. You would see him walking down the streets of this village with children climbing him. Climbing him three or four at a time. They're climbing up him on his shoulders, hanging off of his belt loops, and he's just walking along and grinning and talking to them and having the grandest time. Now listen, by the end of that week, Walter was the hero of Puerto Bermudez, Peru. We got together for our closing worship, and the children of the town, and it took every one of them, lifted him up off the ground and carried him out into the streets of Puerto Bermudez in a triumph gesture. And he came home, he was never the same man after that. I think Walter learned something about himself on that trip. I learned something about Walter on that trip. And I learned a whole lot about myself. About how quick I am to assume the sorts of people that God needs to be able to use them and turn them into heroes. That's why we travel. And that's why the voyager, the walker, the hiker, the person who knows they're still on the way, is still a beautiful and perfect picture of what it means to be God's people. Because if we're not ready to grow, if we're not ready to change, if we're not ready to leave here and go there, then we're not ready to follow Jesus. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, let God's people say.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Richmond, Kentucky First United Methodist Church, growing disciples who make a difference.